There was a stage, like I said, that I was part of this group. I've always heard that it's good to greet an audience, kind of get to know them, you shake hands with them, and one way to do that is self-deprecating humor. And so I thought you might like to see a picture of me and our first stage of our family at this stage of my life. And I just want you to especially notice the hair, which is twice as big as my face. And right before this, Ingrid Gleason and I were talking, like, what were we thinking that perms were a good idea? I'm not sure how that happened. And my kids have asked me, Mom, what was with the hair? But let me just tell you before you laugh too much, your kids are going to be saying, you spent how much on jeans with holes in them? So your time is coming. And like all good parents, we took our children on vacations and made them stare into the sun to get their picture. But then they grow up and they get back at you when you're trying to take their picture. And it just never ends. Unless you pay big bucks and you take them to the Kennedy Center and get them dressed up, you might get a decent picture. But I want you to notice they each have one hand in front. That hand behind is probably pinching and giving wedgies. So pictures are always deceptive and things are never quite as good as they look. Definitely take after their dad. Couldn't possibly be their mother. So I love this topic that we're talking about together tonight. And actually, I love your theme, equipped with the good stuff. And I will tell you, I don't have a whole lot to offer on that, but God does. So I'm anxious to share with you some of what I've been learning, especially from His Word. And I want to read to you a few verses from a passage that many of you may be familiar with, but I think it relates well to this idea of being uniquely designed and uniquely loved, understanding your child's personality. And it's from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. That's true of us as moms. That's true of our kids. God has uniquely designed our children. He's uniquely designed us, and He loves us, and He loves our kids. That whole idea of, Lord, you have searched me, it's not like He's searching and looking for you, but if you think about searching for something, you study it really carefully, right? God knows you intimately. He knows your children intimately. He knows all about our quirky personalities. As a matter of fact, He designed those personalities. Later in that psalm, it talks about, you knit me together in my mother's womb. There's a design to that. Do you sense that? It's not haphazard. It's very, very carefully designed. And you know, we can't possibly know our kids like that. We need God's help with understanding them. So as we approach this topic tonight, I want us to keep in mind a little bit of a warning. I feel like it's kind of ludicrous to think that somehow we can put people in some sort of categories in order to understand them. I always imagine myself saying, oh, I got it figured out, Lord. and like, it's like a two-year-old, someone telling them 2 + 2 = 4, and they repeat it, and them thinking that they understand everything there is to know about math, right? So I want us to remember, how much can we really understand? What we're going to do tonight is take a look at some tools that I hope will equip you with the good stuff towards understanding your child's unique personality. Oops. So we have to rely on God to help us discover how He has designed our children. And what's the purpose? So that we can cooperate with the work that He is doing. And I just want to tell you, if you want to take notes tonight, you are welcome to, but I hope you'll just sit and listen and enjoy, because hopefully this will be on the website, because I'm going to throw a lot of information at you, and I want you to just be able to take it in. If there are things you want to jot down, that's fine, but you'll be able to refer to this back on the website later. So this is just one way of looking at our kids. I'd like to think of it as a lens through which we look at our kids, and there are many different lenses that we can use to do that. I just put a few of them up here. Stages of development, as we look at our children, that's we always want to keep that in mind, don't we? kind of where they are developmentally. And there are lots of books written about birth order and what we tend to associate with different children in terms of their birth order or certainly their sex. I'm particularly interested in brain dominance and learning styles, but you've heard probably the Love Languages book, and that's a different understanding of how our kids receive and give love, whether it's maybe acts of service, things that we do for them, or whether it's more affection or quality time with them. That's another. These are all different lens that we use to look at our children. And the one that we're going to look at tonight is personality. So it's just one of many ways of looking at our kids. So this is something that helps me a little bit to keep a broad overview as we get into this topic. And that is, if you think of personality as being all those qualities that make up who you are, that reflect the way that we are hardwired, it kind of reminds me of when you see a plant come up and it first sprouts, you can't really tell what it is. You know, it's green, you can't really tell where it's headed until it starts to grow and it gets leaves and gets a little bit larger and you go, oh, okay. It's an oak tree or a maple or whatever plant it is. And that's the way I think of personality. Personality is a lot like the oak tree. And it's going to remain an oak tree no matter what the weather and no matter what the seasons it goes through, it's still going to be an oak tree, right? So personality is that part of us, the way I like to think of it, that God has hardwired into us. And those qualities are kind of be there all through our lives. Can you look back and see some of that from when you were younger? And you see that you still have some of those same qualities of your personality through different stages of life. Character, on the other hand, I like to think of it as the way that we grow. So, you know, a tree that's in the shade, it's that part of the tree is going to grow less. The part that's in the sun is going to grow differently. If something falls on the tree and the branch is going to be shaped differently. So that's what I think of as character. It's kind of how we use our personality to grow. An example might be a child who's very talkative, right? That talkative nature can be used in a variety of ways. That talkative nature can be used to be demanding and needy of attention, right? Or it can be used to encourage other people and to help other people connect. So that being talkative is neither good or bad, is it? It's just the way it's used, the way it's developed. And this whole issue of character, I just think, is a critical issue. But I want you to understand that's another topic for another time. What we're going to talk about tonight is more the personality, the way that our children are hardwired. So I like to think of it this way. Personality is unfolded. As our kids grow and develop, we see these qualities just kind of blossoming and coming out, and we begin to observe them. Whereas character is something that is molded. We're cooperating with the work God is doing, aren't we? So if you have a really little one, you're probably going to be listening tonight with future in mind, and I would encourage you not to try to use those glasses to prophesy. just because they're crawling fast doesn't put them in some category of personality. And you might even be thinking of it in terms of your own personality as a parent. It really helped me to begin to understand my own personality as to how I interacted with my kids. So you might want to keep that in mind. How many of you are familiar with the DISC personality profile? Anybody familiar with that? I figured there'd be a few in here. How many of you through work were involved in doing some sort of personality testing? Did anybody do that? Yeah, a lot of workplaces are realizing the value of this, because when you understand yourself and you understand other people, it's easier to work cooperatively, isn't it? And I think that's true within families too. So as you're thinking of your growing children, you can also be thinking of yourself in this. We're going to focus primarily on our kids, but we're also going to talk a little bit about parenting as we go along too. So as Dashua mentioned in the book, Different Children, Different Needs, there are two different aspects that we're going to look at. And the first one is the pace. And whether you're fast or slow. Now, you might tend to think, okay, we live in Northern Virginia, right? It's fast. Or I'm a mom. Is there any other speed? Because does it ever slow down? No, it doesn't. We're talking about in your internal motor, though, your child's internal motor. Do they tend to be quick, or do they tend to need to take time? Okay, I knew where I was on this because as I was thinking back, I remember when I was a little girl walking out to the car, and my dad was standing by the car with a little smirk on his face, and in a very endearing way, he said, "Come on, molasses." And as I was studying this, I thought, oh yeah, I think I know what my internal motor was. What about priority? This is what we're talking about. Your natural preference, is it towards tasks or people? And as your child grows and develops, you will see somewhere on that spectrum probably a tendency towards one or the other. Where are they most motivated? So what we're going to do is put these together, and we come up with a little bit of a an organizational chart. And the reason it's called the DISC personality profile, those four letters stand for four different personality categories. Now I'm going to tell you, if you ever want to, you can go online. There are free online personality surveys with the DISC. And if you know, if you're into that kind of thing, you might have fun doing that to understand yourself a little bit better. But the point is not to figure out where you fit in this or where your child specifically fits. What's the bigger picture? It's just gaining better understanding, right? And wherever you seem to fall in this, it's not going to be 100% in one of these quadrants, right? And some of it changes depending on your circumstance or your stage of life. But I think it is a helpful grid, like I said, a lens through which we look. So we're going to look at each of these real quickly, and then we're going to go into each one in a little bit more detail. So in the upper left quadrant, we have the person who is task-oriented, and they're also fast-paced. Okay, and we're going to call that determined. We'll talk about that in a minute. In the upper right quadrant, we have a person who is fast-paced, but instead of task-oriented, they're more people-oriented. And we call that our influencing type of personality. Then in the bottom right, we have a person who is people-oriented, and they're slow-paced. And that's our soft-hearted child. And then the bottom left, we have slow-paced and task-oriented, and we refer to that as our conscientious person. Okay, I wanted to make you aware of a book that I found when our kids were little, and it's still available on Amazon, called The Treasure Tree, and it takes those four personality types and associates them with animals, and you'll see the pictures as we go through in just a minute too. And as I read it to, this didn't come out until my younger kids were at an age where they could benefit from it, and as I read it, I remember one of my sons saying, "I think I'm the," and he began to associate with one of the animals. It's really interesting. It's a fun book. So I'm going to use those four animals, the lion being the determined, the interactive is going to be the otter, the soft-hearted is the golden retriever, and then the conscientious is the beaver. Okay? So let's take a look first at the D, which is as a parent, it looks like a directive parent and a determined kid. Let's look at a little bit what this child looks like. They're very confident. They're courageous. They're commanding. They're decisive. Remember, they're fast-paced, and they're task-oriented. Okay? So what does this look like in real-life setting? This is the child who, in the playgroup, is telling everybody else what to do. They've got a plan, and they're pretty much directing what's going on. Okay, you can see that within the group. In our family, it's really interesting. Each of our four kids tended towards each of these four personality types. So I'll just, as we go, share with you a few real-life examples of things that I remember. So in our family, this was our son who wanted who wanted to know when he went in the bookstore who was in charge. And actually, he would have liked for it to be him. Do you know kids like that? Do you have one in your family? They just naturally like to know what we would go into stores, and as soon as he was old enough to read, he could always tell me who the manager on duty was. He was very aware of chain of command. We would read books, and he would say, "I think the squirrel is in charge because he's telling the other animals what to do." Just very in tune with the chain of authority. So these tend to be natural leaders, okay? And in our family, this was also the son whose delight was the day that his father played office with him and they pretended hiring and firing. Because what is more in charge than getting to do that? So let's talk about some parenting tips. What do these kids need? Why do they need activity? their internal motor's fast, right? So they do need lots of activity. Now, there are lots of reasons that kids need activity, but in terms of this personality type, that's something they especially need. They're going to lead, okay? You just can't stop them. So you might as well find a good opportunity for them. This is the child you to whom you say, you're going on a trip, okay, you're in charge of the snacks. So every time the timer on my phone goes off, you get to pass out the snacks. Because if you don't, he's gonna find something else to be in charge of, or she's going to find something. It's not good to have them in charge of people. Why is that? Because they're not real people oriented. Better to have them in charge of tasks, but you're going to help them learn how to follow, because it doesn't come naturally to them. So this is the child to whom you're going to say, okay, we're having your friend over, and we're going to let your friend pick the game first. And then if you cooperate, then you get a turn. Okay? And you praise them for being able to follow, because that does not come naturally to them. Right? Understanding this doesn't mean that we change our expectations or that we excuse their behavior. It means that we understand it so we know how to guide it. They're pretty driven, so you're going to have to teach them how to relax. And they're probably going to need help being compassionate. Why? Because they're more task-oriented and they're going fast inside, right? So what about as parents? Directive parents. We're going to take each of these and take it to the extreme, okay? The directive parent in the extreme is autocratic. It's my way or the highway, right? And they tend to feel like they're always right because they're on a fast pace and they're making decisions quickly. And so if this is you, and again, these are not right or wrong, okay? It's just a matter of what we do with it. So if this is you, you may have a fear of losing control and you probably have to slow down a little bit in your parenting. It might mean being attentive to relationships with our kids. Why? Because we're more task-oriented and we have to slow down and be attentive to relationships. And because we're decisive, sometimes it's harder to admit when we're wrong. What's the favorite phrase of a highly directive parent? It's the Nike phrase, just do it, because I said so. Okay, so let's look next at the interactive parent. And this is the otter, okay? And as a kid, these are influencing kids. And what does that look like? Well, they are the party waiting to happen. And when I first started studying personality profiles like this, I realized this is my husband. And when we would have meetings, all he cared about was that everybody went home having a good time. I had an agenda, and my definition of success was if we had finished the agenda. His definition of success was, the meeting was great. We had a fun time. So do you see how the different perspectives, it helps us to understand each other, right? And with our kids, we need to understand that this type of child is very social. They're going to work well in groups. When our daughter was about 3, the doorbell rang, had no idea who was on the other side of the door, and she went flying down the stairs yelling, friends. Whoever was there was sure to be a friend. And so when I was thinking about this recently as I was working on this, thinking, we had so many parties growing up. I thought it was because she was my first girl. It was because she was so social. We had parties for everything. We had the candy cane tea party. We had Kentucky Derby parties. I mean, there was always a party going on. And that I realized that's why. These children are eager to please. They tend to be talkative. As they get into school, you're probably going to see on the report card, talks too much. My husband said that was always on his report card. Talks too much, you know, because they're people-oriented and they're fast-paced, right? So they're all about having fun. And they're good at being spontaneous. So what do we need to keep in mind if this is our child when we're parenting? Well, because they're so people-oriented, we have to be really careful that we don't correct them in front of other people. Why? Because they're very aware of other people's opinion of them. So that's a caution. And then just they're going to need time with friends. As a mom, if your personality is different, you might not be quite as aware of that, but they need friend time. They need lots of hugs and kisses, and they thrive on your attention and encouragement. More so than other personality styles, they need lots of affirmation. But on the flip side, you're going to have to teach them how to deal with peer pressure. This is the child who is going to give away the brand new, very expensive Lego set given to them by their grandparents because they want somebody's friendship, you know? So you're going to have to help them learn how to deal with that kind of peer pressure at an early age. If you're aware of that, do you see how helpful that can be? so you know how to guide them. Well, what about his parents? I love this picture of the otter. This is the interactive mom. You know, she's all about playing and having fun. Taken to the extreme, what happens? This type of parenting style can be very permissive. Why? Because you just want to be friends with your kids. That's really all that, you know, that's the primary incentive. So what do we have to do as interactive parents? Well, we've got to be willing to be the parent and not just the friend. I remember we were in JCPenney's when my kids were little. Now, I'm not advocating what this mom did, but I just want you to listen to the message. Okay, so this mom, her kid's misbehaving, and we're in the boys' section of clothing. She grabs a belt off of the display rack, and she picks it up, and she's swatting this little boy's leg, saying, "I am the parent. You are the child." Well, that's become a phrase in our family ever since, because my boys were standing there just kind of like, whoa. But, you know, that is a good message to remind ourselves. And if you're an interactive parent and you're all about the party and having fun, you might have to remind yourself, I am the parent. He is the child. And it takes being a little more firm with communicating limits. Just be aware that it's hard to say no because you want your kids to like you if you're an interactive parent. And why do you have to focus more on listening? Because if you're an interactive parent, you're probably talking a lot. This is the mom who, bless her heart, she's on her phone all the time because there's a million people that she needs to keep up with, right? So it helps to be aware of that. Well, here's her favorite phrase. Anybody want to guess? It's what my husband always, I realize this, he always said this to the kids as they were walking out the door. Have a good time, because that's what it's all about, right? Have a good time. I'd be saying, okay, do you have your homework? Do you have your lunch? You know, I'm going through the list, and he's saying, just have a good time. So that's our favorite phrase. So if you say that a lot, maybe you're an interactive parent. Okay, the S, I have to tell you, I find this picture of the golden retriever. Our dog died last July. I got so rabbit trailed looking at golden retrievers. I hope this doesn't distract you too much if you're a dog lover. But the golden retriever represents this personality type so well. This is the supportive parent or the soft-hearted kid. So what are their characteristics? They are steadfast and loyal. This is the team player. I saw this in one of our sons. You know how when they first learn soccer, it's more like swarm ball, right? The whole little group just goes all over the field together. And I looked, and there's our son nowhere near the swarm. He's over on the side just staring, and I realized why. Somebody in the team had gotten hurt. So it's not about the game and winning. It's all about relationships, and there's somebody that's hurt, and that's where his heart was. He's the same son that the fire engine went down the street, and we all ran to the fence and looked. And I looked over, and there's our little boy on his knees praying for the person in the ambulance, because he'd ridden in an ambulance before. So, you know, this is the soft-hearted child. They prefer familiarity. You know, don't change the furniture on them without telling them first. They're the peacemakers. They love to serve. They can't do enough for you. Every parent either deserves to have one as a child or a niece or a nephew or something, because they're the ones that tell you, as my son did, "Mommy, you're a good mom." they're just encouragers. But here's some parenting tips. As I said, keeping home stable. All kids need a stable and home, secure home, but they especially thrive on that. Prepare them ahead of time for change. But, you know, they're soft-hearted, which means that they're what kind of pace? Slow pace, people-oriented. Decisions don't come easily to them. And you're probably going to have to encourage them to take risks in making decisions. Okay? I remember our son, who also fits this category, we talked about how they're just so attached to people. And when he was a little guy, we were sitting at the kitchen table, and his brother said to him, "Does so-and-so have a speech impediment?" And this little soft-hearted boy flew across the table and had his hands on his brother's throat in an instant, because he was perceiving that somebody was saying something critical about his friend, and he was going to the mat. So you can see that loyalty come out. What does it look like in a parent? Do you like that picture? These are the supportive parents. What if it's taken to an extreme? What does it look like? Well, they're very accommodating, okay? In our family, this was the aunt who was watching our son who was doing something he wasn't supposed to, and we warned him, and he did it again, and this was our first child. She was new as an aunt, and she looked at us and said, "He didn't really mean to." So if you can relate to that as a mom, maybe you are one of the supportive parents, and our tendency with that personality type is to rescue, because we just don't want our kids to go through something difficult because we're just so compassionate about them. So you might have to be a little more decisive and stick to the rules. Don't cave, moms, if you're a supportive style parent, and keep your own emotional tank full. Okay, I love this. What do you think their favorite phrase is? Yeah, it's going to be okay. Everybody just get along. This is the peacemaker. Could everybody just get along? So they can't stand to have any kind of disharmony in the family. Well, our last parenting type are the careful parents. And for kids, it looks like conscientious kids. Now, these are the kids that make you look like a really good parent. And oftentimes, they can be similar qualities that you find in a firstborn, which tend to be more compliant. Because they set very high standards, and they can almost be perfectionistic, really attentive to details. In our family, this was the son who actually was at the Joyce's house one morning, and I think he had spent the night, and he was having donuts, and he said, "Mrs. Joyce, thank you for the donuts. I haven't had a donut since Thursday, October 15th. They keep track of everything. This is the child on the T-ball team where nobody's supposed to be keeping score. Most of the kids, you know, aren't clueless. This child knows exactly what the score is, and they know who's winning and who's not because they're very attentive to details. So how can we help them as parents if you have a conscientious style kid? Well, you have to help them develop some tolerance for imperfection. Why? Because they're used to things being ordered. This is your child who probably lined up Cheerios on the tray, right? Or their shoes in the closet, or the toys are lined up and in an order. And so they might need help with being tolerant of imperfection than other people. I thought this was really helpful to understand, is that we have to help focus on who they are and not just on what they're doing, because they're already really focused on what they're doing. So when you're complimenting them, and they tend to be tidy, instead of saying, "Oh, you're keeping things so clean," it's helpful to say something like, "I love the way you are being so helpful." So you're focusing on their character quality and not just what they're doing. I think this is my natural tendency of personality, and I remember my mom saying to me, "All work and no play makes Kathy a dull girl." This is the child who probably in their play is going to work, okay? They're going to be organized. They may spend so much time setting up the store that they never get to play store because they're getting it all organized and ready to play store. So as a parent, I didn't get to the last ones. Yeah, they need time to make decisions because remember, they're slow-paced, task-oriented. My dear father went ahead and sent the money in for my college decision. He knew what I was going to decide, but it was taking me so long, he thought I wasn't going to get a room. Just very slow in making decisions. He did tell me he would not make my marriage decision for me, which I thought was probably a wise thing. And they might need help bringing out of the shell. And because they're task-oriented, you might have to encourage them to socialize a little bit more to make people a higher priority. Okay, what about his parents? Taken to the extreme, these are perfectionist tendencies, all right? So here are a few things that might be helpful if you are that careful parent. And I actually did this. I put that up there because I actually did this sometimes. I wrote play on my to-do list because anybody else like that? Like, you're sitting on the floor trying to play with your kids and all you can think about is, "I would really like to just put the toys back on the shelf and get it cleaned up." And there are others of you I know who are just thinking, "Ah, that would be horrible. All I want to do is play." So different styles. What do you think the phrase is for the corrective parent? Exactly. Who said be careful? Yes. That's how I knew that this was me. Because I found myself saying, "Oh, be careful. Just, you know, be careful. They're going out the door. Be careful, not have fun. It was be careful." Okay. Well, I just want to say there is no perfect balance to these in any person, and you all know that. There's only one who has the perfect balance of all this, and it's Jesus. And as we mature, we do move towards more balance in these areas. Can you see yourself growing in different ways in these areas? It's really helpful as we look back, isn't it? But just think about it. Just think about how God in Jesus represents each of these. He is determined. God is sovereign. He's ruling the whole world and keeping it under control, even when it looks like it's not. He is sovereign. He is interactive and influencing. Just think about how he loves to interact with you. He longs for you to spend time with him in his word and to talk to him in prayer. He couldn't stand to be separated from you, so he made a way for us to live with him forever. Talk about soft-hearted and loyal. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And what about conscientious and careful? Jesus obeyed the Father perfectly. He fulfilled everything that his Father gave him to do, and he never sinned. Now, we can never, ever measure up to that. Sometimes we use the good qualities that God has given us to serve others. Sometimes we use them to serve ourselves, don't we? Sometimes we give God credit, and sometimes we take it for ourselves. And we expect others to think the way we do, and we tend to get irritated and sometimes even angry when they don't support our perspective or follow our agenda. And in short, we sin. So it's one thing that we all have in common here. Besides being moms, it's a problem we all have. But fortunately, we don't have to face the punishment that we deserve for that sin if we accept the punishment that Jesus already suffered in our place. And when we give up any notion that we could be good enough to deserve to live in God's presence, and we trust Christ alone for salvation, then the Bible says that we actually become a new person. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. And Jesus described it as being born a second time. And that's because God's Spirit comes to live inside of us and to give us the power, step by step, to become the balanced kind of person that he uniquely designed us to be. So to help me grow in all those areas of weakness and to develop a more well-rounded personality and to begin to look a little bit more like Jesus. And isn't that what we long for our kids as they grow and develop too? So I love this picture and these words. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So why does God not just make us already balanced in all those different areas of personality? It's so those areas of weakness, we can turn to him and allow his strength to shine through us. And we get to train our kids to do that as well. So thank you for listening, and I've enjoyed speaking with you. Let me just pray for us before we close, okay? Lord God, you are our wonderful creator. We're thankful for the unique way that you've designed each mom here. And Lord, you know all the little quirks of our personalities, and you love us each uniquely. You've designed each mom here so uniquely for good purposes. And each of their kids are designed so uniquely, and you love them uniquely. Lord, I realize we don't ever need to compare ourselves to other moms. We don't even need to compare our kids. Thank you for Jesus' willingness to live the perfect life that we're incapable of living, and for your willingness to die, Jesus, in our place. Thank you for the gift of life that you offer those who believe in you. Thank you for all the possibilities in our kids. We just love watching them unfold, and we're relying on you to help us understand them better. We want to lead them to know you and to understand your deep love and your good purposes for them. So would you please encourage these dear moms and equip them for the role that you've given them. In Jesus' name, amen.